welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good.
You've got an interesting poem talking about the drug ketamine. Just by way of background, ketamine itself is a mixture of two enantiomers, S-ketamine and R-ketamine. Ketamine is a standard anesthetic drug. It's administered for analgesia, also for sedation. In addition, both ketamine and S-ketamine can rapidly and transiently elevate treatment-resistant unipolar depression, including suicidal ideation. The mechanism of action for the rapid antidepressant effects is completely unknown. But we do know that ketamine is an opioid receptor agonist, which may explain why it's so effective in acute pain. There's a bunch of evidence for this, particularly evidence for opioid receptor affinity. And part of this is the observation in randomized controlled trials that when you give the drug naloxone and you compare it with placebo, naloxone seems to block ketamine's actions much more effectively than a placebo does. We know that ketamine is used to treat depression, but its increased use still requires, I think, some care and to be used only when other sort of non-electroconvulsant treatments have failed. So it's not a first-line drug. Quetiapine, marketed under the trade name of Seroquel, is also used sometimes for monotherapy and is somewhat effective for both bipolar disease and resistant depression. Patients don't like it because of the side effects, which are numerous but include high rates of sedation and weight gain. You found a research study. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. It was an industry-sponsored study, but it asks the question, for patients with treatment-resistant depression, is S-ketamine nasal spray superior to the antipsychotic quetiapine? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, the first author of this one was Reif, esketamine nasal spray versus quetiapine for treatment-resistant depression, as you said in the New England Journal. And so in this trial, they defined treatment-resistant depression as really resistant. I mean, these were folks who had a score of 34 or higher on an 80-point depression scale where higher is worse. And they had failed between 2 and 6 treatment regimens from at least 2 different drug classes. And they were currently taking maximally tolerated doses of an SSRI or an SNRI. And that drug was continued during the trial. So at baseline, the average age was about 45 years, about 2/3 were women, and 40% had failed 3 or more attempts at treatment. So the average duration of the current episode of depression was over a year. The groups looked the same at baseline, and the allocation to their groups was concealed. This was an open-label trial for the patients and doctors, but the outcome assessors were masked, which is probably the most important group. They initially screened about 800 participants in 27 countries. They did a run-in period, and then they randomized 676 adherent patients to either esketamine nasal spray or extended-release quetiapine, or Seroquel. The initial esketamine dose was 56 milligrams, increasing up to 84 twice weekly, then weekly, and then weekly or every 2 weeks. So it was only given about once a week as a nasal spray. Quetiapine was started at 50 milligrams with a maximum dose of 300 once a day. Patients were followed for 32 weeks. The primary outcome was remission, which was a depression score. This is Montgomery-Åsberg depression rating scale. The score was 10 or less at week 8 on the 60-point scale, so true remission. It occurred significantly more often in the esketamine group, 27% versus about 17%, number needed to treat of 11. Remission at week 32 was also more common with esketamine, 49% versus 33%, number needed to treat of 7. Among those patients with remission at week 8, absence of relapse at the end of the study was also more likely with esketamine, 22% versus 14%. Serious treatment-related adverse events, which is always something we have to look at closely, occurred for only 5 to 6% of patients in each group. The events leading to discontinuation of medication were more common with quetiapine. So more people bowed out of the quetiapine arm because they couldn't tolerate the medication. There was no difference between groups in suicide attempts or worsening depression, which were uncommon and were about the same in both groups. So bottom line, nasal esketamine spray is safe and somewhat more effective than extended-release quetiapine at inducing remission at both 8 and 32 weeks in these patients with very treatment-resistant depression.
I guess the question is, I have for you is more political than it is medical, but is this the kind of thing that, we in primary care should be using, or is this something that you think really is reserved for the use in psychiatry?
You know, I would say for in most cases, probably it's most appropriate for a psychiatrist at this point. I would certainly not do this often enough and not have enough patients that I would feel like I had the experience to appropriately monitor them. There certainly may be primary care docs out there who are in a practice or a setting or whatever where they do more of this and see more of this, and that may be perfectly appropriate. So I'm not saying they could never do it, but in most cases, probably a psychiatrist.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Good advice. We'll talk with you in a week.
Okay.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.